Hello, my loves. Welcome to Full Ass Human, the podcast. My name is Melanie Holst Collins, known as Mel the Oracle. I'm a multidimensional healing facilitator, mentor, deep music lover, tea enthusiast, and a dope human being. This podcast is space for you to prioritize being for a living. We explore the depth and vastness of humanness from my own personal experience, as well as through general life themes we all experience, like self-growth, relationships, spirituality, sexuality, emotional and mental wellness, and so much more. So if you yearn for soulful, expansive connection and conversation and desire to live deliberately, I'm your people. This is your vibe. So come through, tune in, and vibe with me. Welcome back, my loves. How you doing? How you feeling? I am recording this episode in my car, like I have a few of these. So if you hear the air conditioning, it's because it's hot, all right? And I need some air. I first want to just mention the Intimacy, Blunts, and Whiskey playlist that I suggest for you in the show notes is a must listen for tonight on the full moon. It's a very jazzy, chill, enchanting, entrancing vibe, and I think it's a good energy for celebrating under the light of the full moon. So definitely listen to that on Spotify. I want to let y'all know, too, there was almost not an episode this week, and it's really because I started doing that bullshit again. I was walking around like, I don't have anything to talk about. Like, why did I start this podcast? I don't have anything to say, which is a complete opposite of what is true. But again, if you've listened to episodes before, you know that I have this little nagging voice that is obsessed with perfection, that is obsessed with being critical and, you know, self-judgmental. And I shared that starting this podcast is actually my way. Starting the podcast, but moving through this podcast starting experience, not attached to things being perfect, not waiting for certain things outside of me to come into fruition before I start this. So I'm working through this perfectionist overthinking wound in real time through my podcast. So y'all are getting to watch this and feel this as I do this, because I was talking to a friend of mine this week and I was telling him that I'm loving, you know, podcasting. I love my podcast, and I started it, you know, just in this organic energy, but now I kind of want to find, you know, a cadence. I want to make sure that I'm, you know, talking about this and talking about that. Like, I really started to go into that energy. And when I first started telling him about it, it felt very, you know, correct. I felt like I was right in what I was feeling, and he had responded with something. And then I told him, I was like, as you were talking, I realize that I'm interpreting that nagging voice right now as wisdom and guidance, when really it's still that doubtful critic. She's just talking in a different voice. Like, she just code switched. She used different words. So it's the same voice. And I had to tell that bitch to shut up again. So I'm glad that there is an episode, because this is me working through that wound in front of y'all. So let's talk about this title of this podcast, how this, the Benjamin Button effect, is helping to subside / eliminate my anxiety. So I don't know if everyone's seen the movie, what's it called? Well, Benjamin Button, okay? He was a man who basically had a disease and he aged backwards, right? So he started off as this old man and then went back to a child. I honestly haven't seen the movie either, but I know enough to know that that's the premise. And so I was recently on a podcast, my homeboy Soul. His podcast is called Expressions of Love, y'all, and it's a YouTube podcast, so I will share that in the notes. Go watch the episode that I was on, but also stay connected with him because I know he's going to have some really good guests on. My main Lily Shepherd is going to be on an upcoming episode, so definitely go check that out. But we were talking about how I've been feeling and navigating since being back home in my childhood home and back, you know, the city where I was born and raised, and also living with my parents. And I kind of have been referencing this feeling of ego death. I've talked about this in episodes before. It's what it feels like to me. I've stripped myself of certain things that I've identified so closely with for so many years, almost a decade. And, you know, to be ending things and closing chapters and taking breaks and setting things down, it has really felt like I feel stripped and raw and naked, and like I'm literally reconfiguring and refiguring out every aspect of my life. And that has felt extremely vulnerable. And so when he responded, he made a reference to infancy, you know, almost like this space where you are this new body, this new little human, this new spirit, and you have no idea of, you know, how you identify, what your name is, what your gender is, what you want to do for a living, where you're going to live. You are just here and you're new and you're exploring and you're acclimating to being on this plane. That's literally what it feels like. So ever since he made that reference to infancy, I've been like, I feel like, and I've said this before, I feel like I'm being rechilded anyway, coming, you know, in a way, coming home, back to my childhood home, living with my parents for this temporary time. It's what it feels like. So when he said that infancy reference, it resonated, and that's really what it feels like. So for me personally, it has felt like this Benjamin Button effect. You know, I've gone from identifying as, you know, grown woman, adult on her own. I'm out here doing it, which, you know, I still am, but that's neither here nor there. But to going home and feeling like I'm in the crib, literally, literally, I'm in the crib, like I'm being incubated, like I'm back in the womb, because that's what my childhood home has always felt like. And in that process of like this rechilding or this re-infancy, this stripping myself of things that I was so attached to identifying as. And, you know, when we attach so tightly to these identities we have, whether it's business owner, whether it's, you know, facilitator, whether it's, you know, the you that lives in this state or this city, whatever it is, we set standards for how to make sure that we uphold that so that our ego feels good and feels safe. And we create structure around trying to uphold that identity. And for me, that's what I was doing, and that fed my anxiety. That fed my anxiety so much. And in a way, for me, it validated being anxious. It validated being uptight. It validated feeling like everything needed to be perfect. So moving through this process of almost like not having a choice but to strip all that shit, while it has been deeply, I mean, there have been parts of this that have felt very scary, right? I'm going into the unknown. It feels like a void. So while all of that has been happening and I have been feeling that, it's also felt like okay. It's almost felt like this is my time to, it's not even about doing inner child work because that's it, but this is the time to embrace and explore and be curious about who I am beyond, like I said, all these titles, all these identities, and that is essentially who we are as children. That's what we do every day as children. So that, you know, that's what you're doing as an infant. So it's been dope. And there have obviously been periods of time where, because of this, my anxiety has shot through the roof. But I've gotten to this turning point where it's almost like anxiousness has no place in this exploration. Anxiousness has no place in me being able to hear spirit clearly and able to clearly, right, like be alert and aware when my next step is revealed to me. Anxious just, it just doesn't have a place. It literally serves no purpose at this point. And, you know, as an extension of that, I was talking to my brother Lyndon last night, and he was saying, you know, as we've been talking, I've been trying to notice and put my finger on what's different about you. And a part of what's different about you is you feel less anxious. You feel less anxious. And when he said that, it clicked, right? Because I've already been processing through this. But when he said it, it was like, wow, it's to the point now where people around me who know me so like deeply well can also feel this shift. And he said, it's almost like you surrendering and like really diving into this unknown place that you are is making you lighter, is allowing you to really flow with what is happening in life. And I really feel that, y'all. It's almost like a reverse. Like, I don't feel anxious. And that's dope because, you know, everybody has different experiences. Let me just disclaim this. Everyone has different experiences with anxiety. Some are, you know, extremely severe, where maybe you feel more supported by taking medication. Sometimes it's something that you need to receive professional help for. So I'm not trying to naysay that, all right? And for me, there actually have been moments in my journey where physically my anxiety has been deeply severe, to where like functioning outside of my home was challenging. So I've experienced that. But in this situation, in this circumstance where I'm at in life, I'm realizing that, you know, there comes a point when you hyperventilate, you try to hold on, you try to grip, you know, you hold your breath, you like grasp and grasp and grasp when you're trying to figure out a thing or make sure that you know what is happening, that you see every detail, right? That you're clear, that you know, that you know, that you know. And then there comes a point where your hands get tired, where you are losing so much energy, where you feel exhausted. And then there comes to a point where you can no longer, you know, hold on the grip to the rope, or where you can no longer hold your breath. Where you can no longer sustain that intense, like, gripping and holding, and this break happens, and you let go, or you exhale, or you loosen your grip, because you get to a point where you're like, I obviously can't figure this out. I'm making myself exhausted, right? Like, I'm hurting myself. I'm causing myself so much suffering. Let me just let go and let me see. And just see what the hell happens. And let me just see and let me trust. We all get to that point in any life circumstance where maybe we're trying to control it, where we think we have control, where we're trying to hold on. Let me see. Let me know. I have to know. And then you get to a point where you're like, all right, let me just see what happens. We all just think of any circumstance. Seriously, we all get to that point where we're like, I'm just going to have to see what happens with this. That's that break. That's that loosening. That's that surrendering into the void. And I've reached that. And my anxiety, my anxiousness has subsided because of it. So all of this, right, like this idea of being rechilded, going back to infancy, right, like this ego death, being stripped of identities and all of that, and experiencing and choosing to experience the unknown as something that's not scary has led to this space of peace. This space of peace. Yeah. It's dope. The stripping of identity, this letting go of structure, not worshiping structure. That's what it is. Stopping the worship of structure and thinking that structure is the only way to be well, to feel centered, to feel like you are a competent human being. Letting go of the worship of that. And it's allowed my anxiousness to sit in the back seat, get out the car even. So, you know, speaking of a car reference, it's interesting to see how universe, how spirit has offered me this sharp reroute, almost like GPS. And wow, in real time, now that I think about that, I actually told someone, friend/lover, a little bit ago that I had a dream about his son. And in the dream, we were standing like at a beach. I know we were in California, but we were standing at a beach and his son was really disappointed about something. And everybody had tried to talk to him, but he was so distraught and distressed. And I remember walking over to him and saying, like, you know, it's okay that you're disappointed. You get to feel disappointed. But look at this as, I was like, you know, you drive, right? Look at this as the GPS rerouting you. And it's like, and I said, it's not that you're lost. You're just going through a reroute. And it's okay to be disappointed, but you're still being guided either way. And you know, I said something else, I'm sure, but I remember seeing his face light up because he felt some relief with hearing me say that in the way that I did. And now that I think about it, y'all, I think that message was for me. Like, that was actually something that I was saying to myself, but in the dream, it showed up as someone else. So that is interesting. Pay attention to your dreams, y'all. All right. Pay attention to your dreams. Pay attention to how insights from your dreams come up again in personal situations that you're moving through, and consider how the message, you know, maybe that you gave to someone else in the dream is for you. Also, y'all, pay attention to elemental and astrological parallels in your life. I'm going to close the episode with sharing this. I've been noticing some astrological things. So as I move through this journey, right, I've been talking to you all about being rechilded, you know, going back to infancy, coming back to refiguring out this I am, like, who am I? Coming back to figuring out this I am, but being in the space where I am is like empty. Whatever's after it is kind of empty. I'm refiguring that out, and I'm in a place where I'm like, I don't have an answer, really. And I think about how my North Node is in Aries. I'm not an expert, but your North Node is all about like your destiny. So almost like where you're going, or, you know, what lesson you're kind of learning in this lifetime to get to this North Node. Somebody correct me, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And the fact that it's in Aries is all about returning to, you know, Aries is the youngest sign. And it is, it's like the child, it's like the infant of, it's very self-centered, but not in the way that we talk about it. Just like really focusing on considering the self. What is that? What is that like? How does that show up, you know, in the world? It's like the child. So just to think about this being this really deep, monumental, paramount time, and it is feeling like a rechilding, and knowing that my North Node is in Aries is just very interesting. Also, thinking about opposites. So I am a Virgo, and I mean, I'm a Virgo through and through. Virgo is in my chart 5 times. But my opposite, and honestly, the way that I've been feeling for quite some time now, is Pisces. So what do I have to learn from my opposite? How are the characteristics of Pisces showing up for me? I feel very watery. I feel extremely watery. And I feel like the insights that have been coming to me, the way that I've been stripping raw and bare, have felt like it has sparked a new level of wisdom that I can't. That have come through experience, that are coming through experience. And Pisces is the oldest sign, so it is the wisest, right? It has all the experience of moving through all of these, you know, 11 phases of this spiritual experience, and it's like it's the wise sage at the end of the day. So also the element is water. Water has been deeply showing up for me. I have been by bodies of water almost every day since being back here, because I feel held. I have felt very held by water. I've felt very supported and grounded by water. And my personality, I feel, has become a bit more watery as well. So water has been showing up and saying, like, pay attention. I'm here to support you. In so many different ways, y'all. So also just pay attention to what can you learn from the elements? What elements may be showing up? Is it fire? Is it air? Is it earth? Is it water? What are you seeing? What are you paying attention to? It might be showing you something. It might be saying that it has a lesson for you. Maybe it's something. The qualities of that element are something that right now is really supportive to your growth journey to begin to integrate more. Okay. That was a deep channel, because I know I'm sweating now. So, that's all I have for today, y'all. I just wanted to share a little bit more about this journey, but really just talking about what I'm experiencing and how it's allowing me to build a new relationship with anxiety, but also build a relationship with myself beyond beyond structure, beyond title, beyond identity. And this is kind of a running theme throughout the past episodes, but you know, this is going a little deeper into it. So thank y'all for listening to me. I love the intimacy of having this podcast. You all get to hear my voice coming through your speakers. And when I share, you get to unleash healing within you through my story, through something that is a parallel in your life, just through something that resonates, something that allows you to see or have a different perspective about something in your life. So I'm really grateful you're here, and I hope that you continue to tune in. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, listening to me speak, and helping to grow this full-ass human community. Before you tap out, remember to like, share, and subscribe, and rate us 5 stars, gratitude in advance. And if you're feeling froggy, share this. You can catch a screenshot of the podcast and share all your favorite gems on your social media platforms. Don't forget to tag me, Mel the Oracle. Check out the show notes for ways to stay connected with me and all the things. Again, thank you so much. I look forward to vibing with you again, and we'll talk on the next episode.
Hey, I know you're still processing another potent episode of the Full Ass Human podcast, but before you go, I want to invite you to come hang out with me on my show, Multi-Passionate Mastery. If you're someone who has a lot of talents and a lot of passions, and you don't subscribe to the idea that you have to choose just one thing in order to be successful, then you're going to love the conversations that we're having over there. And I'm not inviting you to listen to my show just so I can pump you up with empowerment content. You're going to leave with tangible tips and holistic approaches to common problems that multi-passionates face, like focus, prioritization, knowing how to choose what to start with first, and that type of thing. If you're not sure if the podcast is for you, you can start with the episode titled, Are You a Multi-Passionate Creative? Here's 5 Ways to Tell. That's episode 38. So click the link down in the show notes or find Multi-Passionate Mastery anywhere you listen to podcasts. Hope to see you over there soon.